Coverage of the 2013 NFL Scouting Combine continues on Jaguars.com and inside Lucas Oil Stadium. It's Inside the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. John Osier. Busy day. First day on the field for the players, the major players here in Indianapolis. We had exclusive access to the Jaguars suite. David Caldwell, Gus Bradley, some of the Jaguars staff, some behind-the-scenes work getting done with some players on the field for the first time. And then, after that work was done, Gus Bradley made an appearance on the podium today. The head coach of the Jags, of course, took over the room pretty quickly.
Yeah, shocking that he would shine, right? I mean, and it, as was the case with David Caldwell yesterday, there was a chance for Gus Bradley to get in, give his message, a lot of national writers around, and a really a good chance for Gus Bradley to drive home some of the points that the Jaguars are going to be building around in the coming months.
And one of the major points was the idea of competition, bringing in however many guys it takes to find a guy that can play.
And it's funny, here at the Combine, we talked yesterday how we're starting to get a good idea of what this team's going to be. And I think it's important for people to realize when Gus talks about competition, it's not lip service. This is a team that's going to bring in a lot of players. He talked a lot about the experience in Seattle in 2010 when the Seahawks brought in, I think, 284 players that year. Fans didn't particularly like that, and there was a lot of doubt about it. So I think fans should be ready. It's going to be a lot of turnover. It's going to be a lot of guys that maybe you haven't heard of coming in and playing. That's how it's going to be this year.
And he's warned us before that it might be a little uncomfortable in the building at times with that kind of competition.
Well, he sure hopes it is. I mean, he's not trying to create a negative environment, but he thinks that if you've got guys in there that are fighting for their jobs, he talked about it over here a minute ago. I saw this team, meaning the Seahawks, get better before my eyes. And he asked himself why. He came to the conclusion that it was because they created that competition.
I think there'll be a sense of discomfort with our players because we'll be bringing in a lot of competition. And it doesn't matter what position. But obviously we feel good about some of the skill sets that we have on the team. But we know that the only way really we're going to truly get better is through competition. And we got to bring that in.
That's the major news today. Gus Bradley on the podium. There are some players in the media room today as well. A couple of other position groups going on. Now, right after Gus had his press conference today, he visited with Peter King of Sports Illustrated. Right after their conversation, Peter joined us and talked about Gus and the Jaguars. Well, you just had a chance to get inside Gus Bradley's head. What are your thoughts?
I've always thought that if he's not going to be a football coach, he's going to write a book about the power of positive thinking. You know, he's going to be one of these guys who, at least in my mind, you know, if anybody has a chance to turn around a team that has had flagging fortunes for a while, it's Gus Bradley. You know, I just was talking to him. He has no idea how close he was to be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Or maybe he does, but he was extremely close. And, you know, I think he's right. You know, it worked out for Chip Kelly, worked out well for him. I think he's very well suited to Jacksonville. He loves, capital L, developing players. That's his life. I mean, if he could, you know, if he's the type of guy who if you've got a little league, okay, and you've got 12 teams and you've all drafted players, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of late kids who signed up who aren't very good, Gus said, that's a team I want. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He doesn't want to lose, but he's a teacher at heart, you know.
Even teachers have spots they need to fill. Yep. 5-win season, 2-win season back-to-back. What's the biggest need in Jacksonville right now?
I think the biggest need is for the quarterback to play well, and if he doesn't, for them to develop another quarterback and or go with Chad Henne. You know, because obviously they're going to enter this thing thinking that they're going to move heaven and earth to try to make Blaine Gabbert a player, and I think that is the best option for them at the beginning. And then if not, draft somebody middle rounds, bring them in, and, you know, compete and have a free-for-all. But at the start, I think they have to give Blaine Gabbert every chance to be the guy.
Well, it's obvious Peter thinks Gus is going to get things done here, and that seems to be a theme whoever you talk to around here.
Yeah, we've talked about themes. At the Combine, Senior Bowl, we've had a chance to go to both and talk to a lot of national people. Everybody you talk to who has had any contact with either Gus or David Caldwell says there's good things ahead. These are the two right guys. You never know what the future is going to hold, but you've got the two right guys in place.
Each day here at the Combine, we've had a chance to visit with a draft analyst to see what the Jaguars might do with the number two pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Today we visited with Matt Miller of Bleacher Report.
The strength of this draft is definitely at offensive tackle, at defensive tackle, offensive guard of all places, and then probably out at DN, where there's five or six guys who could go in the first round.
What is your view of the Jags' need at number two?
A couple of different things. I think with Gus Bradley's system coming in, I think you have to look at maybe adding another defensive end. You know, Jason Babin is an older guy. He's been hot and cold consistently throughout his career. He's on and off a lot. So I think defensive end is an area they can definitely look at. Getting a pass rusher is paramount for them. But I think they're in a pretty good spot to go best player available, other than left tackle, because Eugene Monroe is obviously one of the building blocks of that franchise. So I think defensive end, defensive tackle might be a spot, depending on what they do in free agency with Terrence Knighton. So if a guy like Sharif Floyd is your guy there, he's a great pass rusher from Florida and can definitely help on that defensive line.
You mentioned the guard position earlier. That might go very high, and I guess Warmack is the guy everybody's talking about at Alabama. Do you think that could happen in the top five? Is that a realistic expectation in this draft?
I'd be shocked to see a guard go in the top five. We have number 10 overall in 97 was the last time a guard went that high. It's just not a really big positional value. I mean, if you're drafting top five, you've got a lot of needs. So spending that pick on a guard is kind of dangerous. I think that would be a tough one to sell within your own front office and to your fan base. Chance Wormack might be an all-pro guard for the next 12 or 15 years, but how much does that actually impact your football team when you could probably get a guy like that later on or even around two?
Well, it's been a busy couple of days. Certainly today another one. A lot of information the last 2 days around here.
Yeah, and we roll out of here tomorrow. The combine goes on the field until Tuesday for the media, wraps up tomorrow, but we have learned a lot. I think we have a lot better idea of where this team is going to be going forward for the next 2 or 3 months.
Great work, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today on Inside the Jaguars. We wrap up our coverage from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis tomorrow here on Jaguars.com.